Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Kuf Tes, Shabbos 109a, pagination 217, but we will start from the facing page, the last two lines. So we're at the end of Kuf Ches Amud Beis, 108b, last two lines, page 216. First word on the line, Sheba Olam, and then we begin. Hu haya omer, he used to say. The Gemara continues a statement here which has enormous relevance every single day. And the rule here is regarding the morning washing. We wash in the morning when we wake up. And this washing has very specific methodology over and above the general washing that we do. For example, when a person wakes up in the morning, so certainly he would have to wash his hands because in the middle of the night he might have touched parts of his body that are covered, so he'd have to wash. But the very specific method that we watch, which we'll see on today's daf, three times alternating, that specific method of washing is attributed to a certain type of ruach ra'a, literally translated an evil spirit, some sort of negative force in the world that adheres to the hands and doesn't go off the hands until they are washed properly. We're told that this energy, this negative force, could cause damage if not attended to properly, and we're going to see, number one, not to touch open parts of the body, and number two, not to touch food. So the Gemara says, Yad la'ayin, for your hand to touch your eye before morning washing, tikat seitz. It would be better to cut off the hand. What a figurative expression. But the way Rashi explains it is, it would be better to cut it off because of the damage that it's going to do if it actually touches the eye. It's a way to get this evil force into the body, and that's not good. Yad l'chotem, likewise, your hand to your nose, tikatzeitz, cut it off. Yad l'peh, your hand to your mouth, tikatzeitz, again, same concept. Yad l'ozen, to your ear, tikatzeitz. Yad l'chasuda, to a wound, also, tikatzeitz, same concept. And we'll elaborate in a moment, but the next two, Yad La'ama Tikatzeitz, your hand to the private area, this is talking about the front, or Yad L'fiat Tapas, which is talking about the back, Tikatzeitz, again, it's an opening and severe damage that it can do. The Gemara continues on today's daf, Yad L'gigis, your hand to a barrel of beer, or we understand it to mean any food. Tikatzeitz, better to cut it off, the amount of damage it's going to do. Because Yad Mesama, the hand unwashed, can blind. Yad Machareshes, the hand unwashed, can cause deafness. Okay. Go to the next line. Tanya Rabbi Nosson Omer. Rabbi Nosson says, Baschorin Hizu. This evil spirit, we describe it as if it has a personality, it's very independent. Umakpedes, and it stands its ground, acheyirchatz yadav gimel pa'amim, until you wash three times alternating on the hands, and that gets rid of it, and that's this concept of morning washing. Now, as I mentioned, there would be anyway a concept of morning washing, which is what the source of the bracha is, because your hands touch things in the middle of the night, and they have to be washed before you can say brachas. But this washing, very specifically, is the concern of contaminating the body, doing damage, or to food, the same concept. A person, let's say, in the hospital setting and isn't able to wash alternating, a very messy situation to try to do that, and you need help maybe with a basin, whatever, they could wash just a very simple thing with a little water, a cup, into the simple basin, and they'd be able to say Divrei Torah, they'd be able to daven, but that's not enough for what we're describing if a person needs to eat, a person wants to do more than that. A solution that exists if a person feels in the middle of the night, let's say they need to wipe their eyes, so you wipe it with a blanket in between, something in between, a person needs to scratch, touch, whatever, something in between, and that would be a separation. Now the question is, how does this play itself out in practical halacha with people who don't wash their hands? And they go ahead and touch our food.
I was going to ask.
So where does that leave us? So step one is that it could be that non-Jewish workers do not have tumah and taira. They don't have the laws of ritual impurity and purity. And therefore it could be that they are not included in this. And a
not
non-Jewish
affected.
Worker could be has no effect. He doesn't. This is not his realm. They have their seven Noahide laws. They should keep them, basic morality, and all of these extras, so to speak, could be don't affect them. We find such a concept regarding young children. Even though we try to be very careful, even young children, we wash their hands in this specific ritual way. But if a young child would touch food, there's more leniency, because until the child is of a certain age, whatever age that is, but there's a concept here that when they're so young, they don't have this predisposition to holiness and impurity, and therefore their touching doesn't affect. It's only once a person develops that capacity. And if you don't have this capacity, it could be it doesn't affect. However, where does that leave us with a Jewish worker who's not observant? You have a Jewish worker in your commissary, in your restaurant, and he's touching all the food. Where does that leave us? So in truth, I came across in a particular eatery where I saw that the Kashrus agency actually has a sign up there, the same type of Kiruv sign that we have to introduce people to the concept of hand washing. They have for all the workers. And they blew it up, large print, and they want all the workers to wash like this. Presumably, the Jewish, the non-Jewish, they want everybody to wash like this as a matter of policy. And if you did that, that's great. But if you don't, there is a ruling that is a little bit more lenient. The Gemara here seems to say, tikotze, it's cut off the hand, like you're dealing with horrendous. It seems that in our generation, we are not as developed spiritually, whether it's us personally or the environment or whatever, and it seems that this evil force, whatever it is, has weakened itself significantly. And in halacha, we find cases where a person touched something, unwashed hands, and b'dieved, we allow it. We allow the food. And presumably, that's the logic that people are using, that we want people to wash their hands, but if they don't, if you walk into an eatery, do you have to worry? So you have to assume whatever the hashgacha is doing, they have an arrangement that they're relying on. Now, one important observation is that the concept, the comment here at the end, the last line, Yad la'ama, a person touching his frontal private area, tikatzeitz, better cut off the hand. That comment, which in the sequence of our Gemara seems to be talking specifically about touching an open part of the body, wherever there's an opening with unwashed hands, but there's a Gemara in Nida, Daf Yud Gimel, which discusses that generally, nothing to do with the opening, but generally in terms of stimulating the person, and the expression also there is tikatzeitz, it's very severe. So Rashi mentions this, and other Rishonim mention this, that when learning this Gemara, when it comes to that, there's actually, you pay attention, there's a double meaning over here. This is not just with unwashed hands. This is also a consideration, and not just by the opening, but generally a prohibition against doing that.
Gemara discussed it at the length before, prior, a few months ago, right?
I don't remember where the last time we had it, but the primary location definitely is that Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Nida. One final comment, until you wash three times. What happens if a person doesn't have both hands available to wash? One is in a cast or something. So the ruling is that yes, you could wash one hand, and that one hand will lose its ruach ra'a independent of the other. Yeshikoach, have a great day.